This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is season two, first ever mobile podcast. Let's do it.
How are we doing that?
I don't know. We're just doing it.
Are you calling me from your StarTech?
I'm using my shoe phone.
Are you on your car phone?
I'm borrowing stuff from Mike Myers right now.
Oh, man. Make sure you charge the battery in that satellite phone, man. I don't know.
Man, it's already hot to the touch.
I was going
to
say, if you don't plug it in, battery's dead in 10 minutes.
This could be the quickest podcast we've ever done. I might have to pull out the generator and give it a couple cranks. Recharge the battery.
Ah, yes. Nick, we have grown. We have gotten older. We have traveled from the past, from the year 1998 to the present, 2018.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
We could still have fun at roller skates, though.
Of course. Of course. You know, it's funny. We used to go when my wife and I first got married.
Aww.
Because, we didn't skate, but Reagan used to meet with her friends on Tuesday night and go to the roller rink.
You didn't get out there during the couples only dance?
Hell no.
What?
Nah, bro.
Come on.
Nah, bro.
Or whatever they did, what is it, summertime? Whenever summertime comes on? Summertime!
It wasn't summertime, it was some other song.
Could it be an Earth, Wind, and Fire song?
I don't know. It was like boop, 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 boop.
Oh yeah!
It wasn't Salt and Pepper though, but it sounded like Salt and Pepper.
Darn it!
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sure it wasn't Eric being Rocky. Oh my god, it's so good.
What a way to kick off season two.
Oh, dude, we're like vets now. I don't know what we're gonna do to qualify it season two, but the listeners, they're in the know. They know, they get it.
They know what's up.
Yeah.
They know
what to expect.
Maybe
it's a roller coaster on fire. That's what they know.
That's possible.
Yeah, they get used to it.
It's gonna be twice the profanity. Twice the reach around.
Twice the technical difficulties.
It's
true. Okay, now this is a serious question.
Oh. Why are you trying to ruin this podcast?
No, we have to talk about this because we haven't yet, because, you know, the group chat, they don't understand.
They don't.
Yeah, our social media spots, they don't understand.
They don't.
It's me and you, buddy.
That's it. Flagship.
We've already, I understand, we've loaded up some of our best of clips, sent some off to the Podcasting Hall of Fame.
That's right.
We haven't heard back yet. They could be using them as a doorstop. We don't know. But now we, you know, the ones that we both decided to put two stars on, one vote for me, one vote for you, and we sent them off to the independent panel of judges for the 2018 Grabby Awards.
Of course.
Now, do you think, now this is the serious question, do you think we have a shot this year? Because there's some stiff competition, dude.
Well, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. We won last year, right?
Right.
Which now that makes us a legacy podcast.
Right.
Right? Because we've been doing this for 15 years.
But how many people can repeat? That's the thing.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If they put us in the legacy podcast category, then we might be shit out of luck, as the kids say.
That's true.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Very true. Yeah.
But if they don't put us in legacy, we're golden.
I know. Is there any chance that they're going to put us back in the pets and domestic kitchen cutler?
I mean, category? That's how we won last year, because we were the only podcast in that category.
Right. We snuck in.
We snuck in. The only crockpot recipe podcast on the internet.
Well, the only one that actually applied for a Grabby.
It's true. The only one that you know, talks about paleo Pueblo pistachios.
That's true. That's true. I mean, we did step think up about that it. Game.
We did.
Okay. I, you know, because I go back and forth. Because I think we're doing a good job. A bang-up job.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's when we lay it down by just saying it's a roller coaster on fire, and I think that's what we
do. Mm. Mm.
Sometimes it's a little bit more drunk than others.
I don't know. We get pretty serious sometimes, Nick.
We do.
We get very serious.
We have a couple topics tonight that I want to go through. That there's a serious bent on both of them.
Did you put them in the show notes?
Yeah, it's in the Google Docs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which one you want to go off first, because as you well know, I'm driving now.
Yes, you are. Shame on you.
So if you go into a spot, if I go into a spotty cell area, it could just be the Martino podcast. I don't know.
It's a good thing that there's no police officers listening to this podcast live.
I'm hands-free, Pally.
Okay. Okay, good.
That's why I didn't even answer your call. I was parked when I answered your call, and then I started to drive.
Well, I don't know. I feel like we might get angry on either topic.
Yeah, but they're both serious topics.
They are both serious.
Sometimes it's a garbage truck on fire with no direct, but this time we sort of want to talk about a couple things that have been, that's been chewing in our crawl.
Chewing on our crotch?
No.
Nick, it's the first episode of the year and you're already talking about crotch chewing.
I'm thinking about C2E2.
Episode title? Crotch chewing?
No.
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 No?
That's the OG. No, that's a good one. That's the OG.
It's
gonna be good.
Oh man,
if it was a podcast from 25 years ago, all you need to say is Pamela Anderson naked as the episode title, and man, would we get downloaded.
Oh,
Tommy Lee's dog.
I don't know, man. I get all kinds of emails about paleo stuff and Bitcoin now.
Yeah, you do. Did you see that there's a Bitcoin documentary on Amazon Prime?
There's a couple. There's one that came out, I think, last year, the year before. It was pretty good.
There was one that was like the rise. And
yeah, rise of Bitcoin.
The rise and rise.
Well, that's because the original one is the rise of Bitcoin.
Yes, I know.
But it ends in like 08 or something.
Right before Bitcoin actually really rose.
Yes.
Before the twins took over.
Bitcoin's over, dude. You didn't know that?
Yeah, I know. Well, I still like the farm.
Oh, I know. Farmville. Bitcoin Farmville.
Yeah.
That could be a good episode. God, we're like a... We have a wealth of titles.
I know. Just wealth. Imagine when we get to C2E2 and we start drinking.
Oh, my God. Catfish spelunking.
No.
Anyways. Now, Bitcoin's over, man. I told Mike. Mike was upset because he bought 30 Bitcoin. I said, Mike, you should have asked me, dude. Bitcoin's over. It's all about the Ripple. Ripple and Dash. Oh, man, that's a good episode title, too.
That is.
Mm.
Sounds like something that I would be hearing on Sanford on Sunday. Like, that friend in Sanford, he's drinking that Ripple and Dash again.
let's do this. All right, first of all, we're going to talk about this website thing.
Yeah, you got to set it up.
I'm going to set it up. However, I'm going to preface with this. Uh-oh. Because I was tweeting about this. When did the list come out? Like New Year's Eve or something?
I saw the response that I sent over to you.
Okay, so maybe it was New Year's Day that it came out.
But I'm sure it came out before New Year's Day, but then Scott Snyder was part of it as well as Nicola Scott.
Ah, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of people pissed off. So I tweeted about it, and I had a lot of responses as well.
So did I.
I chose not to name this website.
Sure.
Because, I mean, like, everybody was talking about it. You know what I mean? So,
do you think that was their end goal?
Of course it was.
Really? Because maybe I'm just naive. I just thought it was lazy.
Well, it was both. We'll get to that in a second. I didn't name the website.
No, we don't have to.
I'm not going to name it now. But just to clarify things, there was a website, which, aren't they, like, the guy that started it, isn't he under investigation for, like, rape or something? I'm pretty sure it's that one.
There is some investigation being done, but I will say the people that do a lot of the video game side of that website,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty good journalists.
The video game side, yes.
yes, they don't hide from anything. They will call a spade, like they have no problem calling people out, as well as saying, we can't really comment on this because of an ongoing investigation, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're pretty forward about it. Now, the comic side and the person who actually owns the site, yeah, I don't know about the comics. I just read that and I thought that was real lazy journalism. But you're right, it could easily be just the shotgun approach of how can we get more people to click. It could easily be that.
All right, so I have a question. Do they
have I ever gone to the bottom of a web page and where it says check out somebody's boo? Have I ever clicked on that? Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Of course you have. All right, so I will say this. They do have some good stuff on the site. So the video game side is good. I've been reading that for a while. Yep.
Yeah, long form.
The computer side, the tech side is really good. Matter of fact, I would say it's one of the best. Motherboard is that site. I will name that site. Motherboard's fantastic. However, the main site, all right. With that said, I didn't even know they had comic book coverage. I had no idea.
Same here.
So I don't know if like they hired this person just to see what was up or what the deal was. But somebody on this site wrote a top 10 best comics of 2017, right? That was the title, wasn't it?
Yes, and released it right when everybody is releasing their top whatever of 2017.
Yes, except they only had 8 books on their top 10, and the number 9 and 10 spots were blank, because as the author said, there just weren't any good comics in 2017.
Yeah.
So, that bugged me a little bit, Nick.
Yeah, you think?
It bugged me a little bit. Here, you know what, before I go into that, let me read you this top 10 / top 8.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna read this first paragraph.
Are you going ascending or descending?
I'm going to just do it in the way that it's on the article.
Okay.
Making a list of the top 10 comics of 2017 was difficult since 10 good comics didn't get published this year. Wow. That's an opener.
Yeah, that's real clickbaity.
Even the other website we're not going to mention, which is almost always right, terrible journalism. Nobody says that. Made a top 10 list that was mostly worthless garbage. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to the other mostly garbage list in a second.
But can I give you the opposite viewpoint on that opener?
Yes.
You almost want to give that person credit because that person ain't looking for any freaking free comic.
Oh, like, hell no.
That is just somebody that is giving the middle finger to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I can respect the do better. You know, when like all of the sexual harassment stuff was going down, every like sector was being looked at and like, you guys can do better, be better. And that I can sort of respect, but to do it that clickbaity, no. Cause I can guarantee I can think of about 40 comics off the top of my head that could easily go on a top 10 list.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. All right.
So it's a pretty crappy way to do it.
To some, the purpose of a list like this is to serve as a gift guide, but that's shameful to me. The reason for these lists is to discuss creative works that were made this year that have some lasting value, not to be a distraction or an advertising. Here's this website's top 10 comics of 2017. One More Year. Never heard of it. Crickets, number 6. Now, I don't get that, because that's a single issue. Okay. Love and Rockets, number 2. Okay, that's a good book. Love and Rockets, number 4. All right, now you're getting lazy, bro. The Million Year Panic and Other Stories. Never heard of it. The Amazing Spider-Man Volume 3 by Stan Lee, John Romita, John Buscema, and Gil Kane. That's like, how old is that? 40 years old?
Like I said, this person just, I mean, at this point, it's the middle finger.
Number 7.
You know what the best comic book that came out this year? A comic book from 1965.
Number 7, Sex Crime 4. Never heard of it. Number 8, Jay Bisbrough's Monster Invasion. Never heard of it either. Number
doesn't mean that these aren't good.
Doesn't mean that.
Okay.
Because I have read Love and Rockets, and it's great.
Right.
However.
He could have really good taste.
He could. Yeah. Or he could have zero taste.
Correct.
Because number 9, nothing.
But he does like Amazing Spider-Man, Buscema, so.
It's true.
Yeah.
Number 10, nothing. And that's it. There were 8 good comics this year. Maybe they'll be better in 2018, but it's most likely there will be less. Yowza. Yowza. I'm gonna read this guy's, some of his other writings on this website. God. So you get an idea here, Nick.
Sure.
Everything that's wrong with Star Wars The Last Jedi.
No.
The New York Art Book Fair is a sweaty sauna. I interviewed my sister about our new art show and daddy issues.
I actually want to read that article.
You're a dummy if you aren't paying attention to cartoonist Simon Hanselman. Okay, that's fine. Cool. Witchy is like Etsy for people who sell jars full of fingernails. Frozen mac and cheese is a food product that shouldn't exist.
He might just be a professional clickbait title person.
All right, I have two great ones. I saved the two best for last.
Okay, good.
I will review frozen food no more forever. And finally, I ate Burger King's Whopperito because I am a trash person. There's our episode title.
Those are really good titles. I mean, they're very negative, Nelly. Like, I wouldn't read half of those articles on the negative title. But there are a couple titles there that intrigue me to want to read more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I do like saying I ate blank because I'm a trash person. I do like that. I mean, you pour a little out from your pimp chalice on that one. Like, I hear you. I got you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I think? I think this person, listen, I don't like calling people names. You know what I'm saying? This is a happy place.
Sure.
But, you know, this guy, we're not going to say his name either. He's the art editor for this website.
Oh, wow.
So my assumption is he's some kind of Brooklyn hipster who just goes to art galleries and drinks orange seltzer with his pinky up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, that's also what I'm drinking.
I like that.
Yeah, yes. That's also what I'm drinking. And it's delicious. Hang on, let me take a sip.
It sounds like he possibly could be a little...
A little bit of an asshole?
No, it sounds like he possibly could be... there might be a little bit of burnout.
Mm.
Like, he is wearing his negative hat to everything.
Mm. You might be
but
right.
I will say, he writes a damn good... He writes a damn good title for his articles.
I will give him this. His article titles are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're all extremely negative, but also funny.
And you definitely know exactly what he's writing about.
Yeah.
You don't have to go, there's no mystery. He put it right out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I will agree with Nicholas Scott, and of course I wrote back, Nicholas Scott, you rock. That when she said, what did she say? Something to the effect of, like, do your effing job. I would agree with her. Guess what? You could pick up probably 10 comic books, even if you just go to the independent. You could pick out 10 comic books, and I'm pretty sure you could find 2 more comic that time. Like, you did a top 8 list just so you could whine.
Oh, well, it's funny you should say that.
I don't think it was one of those, like, you in the comic industry, you guys need to do better. I don't think it's that at all.
No, I don't think it's that at all.
I think that was sweet clickbait. And guess what?
It worked.
It worked on Nicholas Scott and of a lot of other people.
It worked on like 80% of the comic book industry, I would say. Because every single writer and artist and colorist and everything that I follow, they're all talking about it that day. And yeah. So, of course, you know that people who are reading their timeline are like, oh, I wonder what Nicholas Scott's mad about. Let me go click on this link.
It's probably his most read article.
Oh, probably by far.
Yeah.
Probably by far.
Which, at the end of the day, guess what? He got more eyes on his article, so good for him.
And not just that. Think about the SEO juice,
bro. I can't
respect
it, but come on.
Dude, SEO juice.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. This helps this entire website. So the people that are mad about it were not linking to the article. I saw a few people did, which was dumb. But most of them were not linking because they didn't want to give this site any more notoriety. Here's the thing, though. They were still calling him out on their tweets. So, of course, you can just click on the damn @ such and such. @ clickbait website.
Yep.
And go on there, and it'll be on the front page because it just happened. Or if you can't find it, you can just be like, oh, let me just go to the Google machine and do at this crappy website, top 10 comics of 2017. Bam. First result on the top.
Or prompt is what articles he's written.
Sure.
And the most recent one will populate.
Sure. Absolutely. So I get why people are upset. That's what I tweeted about the other day. I was like, look, I get why people are upset. I'm not going to name this website because you're just giving the dude free traffic.
Yep.
And it's pretty obvious to me that this list is not a real list. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if this guy reads comics, at least modern comics.
He reads some sweet Spider-Man comics.
Well, of course. I mean, Stan the Man. Happy 95th birthday, bro.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Stan Lee.
Excelsior.
But, yeah, I just... You know what it is, Nick? People are just so, like, on edge nowadays.
Yep.
That any little thing they get upset about.
Sure.
Any little thing.
We're very fragile flowers.
Very fragile flowers. And look, I get it. Okay, you want to defend your work. I totally get that. But do you honestly think this guy meant a single fucking word he said in his article? Let's be real, Nick.
Or does he really care?
He does. Well, he doesn't give a shit. I looked through.
I hope that he loves comics, but even that might be in question.
Absolutely.
An editor could have just said, "Hey, I need a top 10 list. Go do this. Can I do books? No. I already have somebody for that. Go do comics."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he does do a weekly comic book column, but let me tell you. I have never seen a single somewhat recent book on that list.
Oh, boy.
And if there is a somewhat recent book, it's like a Fantagraphics book.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, just think about who this guy is or could be. I mean, I don't know this guy. He could be my best friend. I don't know. But I doubt it.
Hey, if he's like the art critic, I'm sure he only reads Fantagraphics and Drawn and Quarterly and the Uber of Uber independent comics because I'm way too hip for this mainstream BS.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And I get it. I mean, hey, there's plenty of great independent comic books out there. You don't need capes and cowls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't like slice of life comics.
I don't.
But there's a huge market out there for it.
There sure
some
is.
Are way better than others.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have terrible taste. I found one of his previous lists. Are you ready for this?
Oh. Is it a top 5 list that only has 2 entries?
This is a top 10 comics of 2015.
Oh.
2015 was a garbage year and we all know it.
Uh-oh.
Here are the top 10 comics from the least best to most best. Punks Get Out. Never heard of it. Bright at Midnight. Never heard of it. Sandman Overture, that's really good, see? He's got some kind of taste.
Yeah.
Real Deal, never heard of it. Dream Fossil, never heard of it. 750 Years in Paris, never heard of it. Wally Wood EC Comics Artisan Edition, oh, I need that.
Yeah, see?
Hello! Worst Behavior, Last Man. And the Collected Harry Who Publications, 1966-69. Yeah, so here we go. Listen, we're talking about a hipster here. Hipster. Hipster Beard! This guy doesn't read comics, Nick. That's all. All right. So let's do this.
He's an art critic, buddy.
Everybody leave this fucking website alone. Okay. They're obviously never going to be invited to any fucking comic book event ever again.
No. And don't go hunt it down either.
And
we just read off to you. That's all there is.
That's all there is.
No more. You don't need to check it out.
I read you the whole website.
Yes. Don't go and click on all this stuff and give them more juice. They don't need it.
Nope. If you want more juice, just go to nerdlegion.com/podcast/whatever this is. What is this? What show is this?
I don't know. Roller Coaster on Fire.
I don't even know anymore.
Season 2.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So anyways, yeah, people are upset, man. Upset! Up in arms! Fucking last day of the year!
And I have no I get that there is art, just like there's literature in comic books, there's traditional quote-unquote art. You know, and I'm not going to say, like, one is better than the other. I don't care. I just want to get all the art in my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, send me a huge box of comic books, and I'm going to read all of them. Why? Because because I love comics, and I don't care what they are.
Yeah, just send me all the comics.
Yeah, some I like more than others. Hey, guess what? Everybody has their own taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so does he. But my guess is he thinks he has to elevate this art form to be everything that comes out is Pablo Picasso and Salvador Dali.
I mean,
no, you don't.
It's obvious he has great taste. The best taste, even.
No, because he can write lists.
This guy's like the Trump of comics.
Dude.
With tiny, tiny hands. Anyways, yeah, I thought that was funny. I figured you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I figured that you and I would be pretty much on the same page here.
Right.
You know?
But he knows how to write a title.
He does. Props to you, sir.
Yes. And now go to an art exhibit and pay attention to somebody putting white paint on a white canvas and calling it modern art. Go ahead.
Oh, I saw.
Go write 4,000 words on that. Go. When somebody's being in a corner. Yes, that's art. Go write about that. Yes.
I saw one of.
And they're also. Wait, is that guy doing a new art installation? He's toasting bread at different frequency of toast to make a gradation of toast. Yes, that's modern art. Oh, my God. Genius. I'm going to write 5,000 words. Go write about that. But you know what you can do for me? Martin, be him and ask, what can I do for you?
Hey, Nick, what can I do for you?
Get out of here. I have no interest in your opinion on comic books. Guess what? If Best of the Rest gave that list out, I might actually read some of those. And I'm not even saying that stuff that he threw out. If he's throwing some Bushima in there and Love and Rockets, maybe that is a list I want to, like, take a little peek of it. But the way you're approaching it so negative, I don't know if I really need to read that.
Mm. Funny you should mention Best of the Rest, because they just put out their top indie comics of 2017.
I know. I'm so excited to put that in my ear holes tomorrow.
So, you can go to nerdlegion.com/episodes/ B as in boy, O as in oh my, T as in Trump? R as
no.
In Roberto dash 13 and listen to that episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had something I wanted to talk about.
Ooh.
Because this is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, Nick. See, in our first part of this season 2 hashtag Flagship podcast, we talk somebody that's obviously not in the industry talking about comics. For the second part, we're going to talk about somebody that is in the industry, a veteran writer of the industry, who said something that kind of pissed me off.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to find what he was replying to. Palmiotti's been... Oh, really? Do I need to?
Well, you got to give context.
Well, Palmiotti's been tweeting a lot lately about comic books and things like that.
Yeah, but you just said... It's not even like you have to find it. Go to our Twitter private conversation. And you took a screen grab.
Yeah, I took a screen grab of the tweet that I wanted to discuss. But that.
Well, yeah, at least give that as context.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to give that. But that was in reply to something that Palmiotti had said.
Yes, but Palmiotti always is talking like this. About every 3 years, he gets a burr in his saddle. And I think all of a sudden he looks at his checkbook increasing every month and decides, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be Mr. Independent. But I'm making all this money from Harley Quinn. Look at it all rolling right in.
That's so funny. You're so right. It is like every 3 years.
Yeah.
We can call this podcast the Palmiotti cycle.
I love me some Palmiotti.
Me too.
But yeah, he gets a burr in his saddle. Just like Jonah Hex was not a success.
Right.
But he just kept going on with it. And then I think when Harley Quinn hit so huge, I don't know if he really knew what to do with himself.
Dude, I wish... he's been big for a while, dude.
I understand he's been big, but this is like... I mean, come on. This is head and shoulders times whatever big. Probably more popular than he ever thought he would ever be.
Well, that's probably true. But that's because he's doing Harley. But you don't think that like he's made a bunch of money the entire time?
For sure.
You remember when he first went to Marvel? Do you know the story of how he got to Marvel?
Go ahead.
All right.
Spring it on.
So there was this little comic. I don't know if you ever read it, but it was awesome. It's called Ash. Hmm? Did you ever read Ash?
Mm-mm. No.
What? All right. Nick Wetmore.
When was that? Give me a roundabout year.
Oh, God. It was in the 90s at some point. Hang on. Let me find out.
Because this could have been during my no capes and cowls, independent, vertigo, you know, drawn in court. That this could have been during these years.
All right, here we go.
If it said Marvel on it or DC, unless it was Vertigo or Epic, I would just be like, hell no, not even opening up that cover. Hell no.
So it was Event Comics. Ash was published from 94 to 99.
Yeah, that's right around there. Okay.
And it was written by Palmiotti with art by a friend of the show, Joe Quesada. You really never read this?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
It was awesome. I even had the zero and the half issues from Wizard. Oh, God. The good old days when Wizard gave us comics. Anyways, Ash is big, dude, but it was hard to find because there was like, it was like a small indie thing, and they couldn't meet the man. They had a shit ton of like scheduling issues or whatever. But like, Jimmy and Joe were like the dream team back then, dude. Like everybody wanted Jimmy and Joe. And Marvel hired them. That's part of the reason I think they quit doing Ash. Marvel hired
Marvel Knights, right?
Yeah, Marvel Knights. They were the ones that launched Marvel Knights. Because Marvel really liked what they were doing with Ash, and they wanted that in the Marvel titles. And by that point, they just like threw money at him. So yeah, that's how they went over there. God, I thought you knew that. Ash, you should read it.
I did know about the Marvel Knights part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just never read Ash.
Well, you should read Ash. It's, all right, let me see. Here we go. Ash is 7 issues, 0-6. There's an Asriel Ash crossover one-shot.
Okay.
Ash the Fire Within, 2 issues. Ash Cinder and Smoke, 6 issues. Ash Fire and Crossfire, 1-2. A mini comic in Wizard, the half issue in Wizard, and the Ash Files.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Dude, oh God, I gotta fucking read this now.
How many lenticular covers did they do for each issue?
I don't know, dude, but they had some badass covers or not.
You're so much younger than me.
Wait, by the way, remember this is the 90s. His name is Ash. Yeah. His name is Ash because he was a firefighter and he had fire powers.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you're selling it to me now.
Oh, God. Dude, the art should sell it to you. Just go find it and look it up and you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, it is a 90s comic though. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I liked some of the stuff they were doing back then.
Anyway, so Palmiotti wants to do Indie Comics again. I mean, I tweeted at him, you know, he, friend of the show, Jimmy Palmiotti.
Yeah.
Got a tweet at him. Cause I really wanted to do Super Zero again. Did you read that? Super Zero from, Aftershock?
No, I did not.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's Palmiotti and Amanda Connor.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
No, you don't like that?
No, that's what I've heard.
Oh, okay. It was good, I promise.
Oh, I believe you.
I promise. Especially, God, the last issue, there's this twist. Oh, is this my tiny donut?
That was the twist?
A tiny donut.
A tiny donut?
Reagan was in Canada this past week.
I know, she's so international.
She is. And her dad took her to Chinatown up there, and she bought a bunch of like Chinese like treats.
Ooh.
And one of them is like a Japanese make your own mini donut kit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How many bags of seaweed did she bring back?
Oh God, she's got like a whole box of them.
Of course she does. Good girl.
She brought me back these ramen noodles that come with like a little egg inside.
Oh, whoa, like a dehydrated?
Yeah.
Wow, that's gonna be fun. That's fun through science.
It has me a little worried, but we'll see.
Take a picture of that when you make it. I want to see what that looks like once you add water. My brother-in-law, he's keeping it on the food tip. He's going back to his motherland of Ireland.
Mm.
And of course he asks every time, like, what do you want me to bring back? And usually everybody asks for chocolates. The chocolate's so much better than here.
Yeah.
But I said, all I want is 3 of the weirdest sounding flavor potato chip flavor that you see. And he goes, the weirdest? And I'm like, if you get me a bag of shrimp flavored potato chips, that isn't weird enough. So you better really start looking.
Step it up. Oh.
Yep. He's like, all right, I'll take care of you.
are living through food science.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I want to see a picture of this egg in bag of dry noodles. It sounds so disgusting, but I'm very intrigued.
I bet it's going to be delicious.
I bet it is probably going to be the best thing I've eaten in a week.
No kidding.
I wish Reagan had my address. I'd be like, send me one.
I don't know. Mine. Dude, I made a vegetable tikka masala.
Heck yeah, you did.
God, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
With coconut jasmine rice.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Let me tell you, the only way to make rice is to use jasmine rice and no other rice.
Okay.
And to use coconut milk instead of water.
That all sounds so good.
It is. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to topic. Nick, quit taking us off topic, Nick.
Dude, I could take you off topic right now and you'd love so. Back to pull me off.
Listen, this is season two, okay?
Yeah.
It's time to be serious.
We're going off the rails on this crazy train. Go ahead, Ozzy Osbourne.
We got to quit with the shenanigans.
No way, shouldn't it? Call this Tickle Your Ass with a Feather, because that's season two, Pally. Get on in here.
I put that as the episode title, but we might be banned from iTunes.
Oh, we don't want to do that.
All right. Should I say who this writer is, or can we leave that blank also?
I don't think... He threw it out in public, so guess what? If he wants to put that out there publicly, then he should be able to be mentioned.
All right, Mr. Tim Seeley, who... what's he done? Nightwing? Nightwing's good.
Isn't it Aftershock's very own? He's,
yeah, yeah, he's doing Brilliant Trash.
Yeah, the best title ever.
Well, it used to be called Lifespanners, and there was a whole shenanigans on that. Mm-hmm. I think he developed it with whoever the artist was, and then the artist pretty much told them all to piss off, and they had to replace the artist with a new artist, so he had to rename the title and tweak the story a little bit. That's what my understanding.
Life happens.
Anyways, Tim Seeley. He tweeted, replying to @JPalmiotti. I was thinking about this too. What he was thinking about, I don't know, because I didn't look for the tweet. But this is what matters. I'm where you are, but I'm conflicted, because I don't know if I think we should be making challenging big two superhero books. At least not many of them. We should maybe be making accessible ones. All right, Nick, let me tell you something. Friend of the show, Stan Lee, always says, what does he say, aside from Excelsior?
Oh, this comic could be someone's first comic that they've ever read.
Absolutely. And I totally understand that.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you make every comic a comic that could be anybody's first comic ever.
I think we're going to have a disagreement here, but go on with
it. We are. Oh, we're going to disagree. Okay, so if you make every comic someone's possible first comic, tell me what your feelings are about that. Because I can already tell we're about to disagree.
Yeah, I think that's the absolute way to approach it.
How's that?
Because if you look at Alan Moore's Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
anyone off the street, they don't need to know the history of it to read it and think that it's a great story. But if you know the Charleston characters, then it's that much better.
All right, I understand that aspect of it. I agree with that.
Everything. I think Stan Lee is attacking that statement as a good writer and good artist should be able to present something to a person first picking up a comic book, as well as somebody who's been reading them for 10 years. Like, it's up to the creators to be able to explain whatever concept they have in their head
mm-hmm.
to a newbie or a veteran.
I agree with you on that point. However, you can't make every single comic somebody's first comic, because then you never evolve the characters. Because if you have to make them somebody's first comic, how are you going to explain a character's relationship to another one? You're going to explain it every single issue? You're going to do it every four issues like we do now, where you just repeat shit over and over again because you have to put it in a four-issue trade? You see what I'm saying? Like, what's the timing on that? Like, do you do this, like, every four issues, every six, every 10, well, every 12?
Well, why do you think every time somebody picks up a mainstream superhero, no matter who it is, they usually, by the time they turn in that superhero at the end of the run, they have to reset him all the way back to where they found him? It's still being done.
Sure. But that has nothing to do with the way people read comics.
But my,
you got to remember that. Do you just remember the way
I'm looking at it? I should be able to pick up League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I should be able to pick up 8-Ball number 34, and it should be able to make sense to me. Maybe not complete sense, because the writer is that good that they can make sense of a new reader reading issue 34 right off the bat.
All right, so the
thing you're talking about, or maybe that you're hung up about, is all of the nuances that make a longtime reader go, oh, this totally connects to me. It's just like the superhero films. Like, my dad doesn't know any of that. My wife doesn't know any of that. But they can go into it and, like, yes, they're going to be completely lost, like, are the relationship parameters of, like, Thor's family.
Mm-hmm.
But that just sort of, that gets lost in the mist, you know? They don't really care about that. They could care less.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, did you see the way Thor looked at Loki? Blah, 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 blah. Like, we just get a little bit extra out of it. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, see, that's not the way that I see it. That's not the way that I see it.
I'm not talking about, like an issue that's, like, part 4 of 14. Like, yes, that's a tough spot. And I used to do it, and I mean, I still do it to today. Like, if going back to the box of comics,
mm-hmm.
if you were to send me a box of comics and I got whatever it was, Batman, like, number 14.
Sure.
And it's, like, part 4 of 14 of the arc. Like, I realize there's head-scratching moments there. But at the end of the day, did the writer and artist, was I entertained for it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of what Stan Lee's going for. Now, let me explain who Black Panther, he was doing that in the 60s, and I get it. But I'm just saying, like, for modern comics, I think if anyone's looking at it from a Stan Lee approach, they're looking at it like, is a new reader completely confused coming in on part 4?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer should always be no. Do they get everything 100%? Absolutely not. But at least I can write dialogue between whoever, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, that is compelling enough to a new reader that they're invested of, like, let me scratch my head. Now I want to go back and read the first 3 parts or continue on.
Okay, so the way that you explained it makes more sense than the way that I've seen it put into practice. Because the way that I've seen it put into practice is the way that I was trying to explain it, where the comic becomes so dumbed down that people that actually follow it end up not reading it anymore because it's the same fucking thing every issue. You see what I'm saying?
There's comics out there that exactly do that.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So
that's why it's fun. Like, and I know, at least I have raved about Bendis, his run on Daredevil, Brubaker's run on Daredevil. Like, there was a period where it went from, like, when Bendis's run ended, that's what made it so fun, because you're talking about modern comics. The way he ended the character, he put it, I think Bendis put Daredevil in jail and then just sort of gave that to Brubaker and was like, good luck getting out of that box. Instead of, let me zero set this character because I'm leaving this character.
Okay.
And that was like, holy Christ, because no one does that. No one, like, it always gets reset. So for somebody to go against the norm, that was exciting. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. There are times when I'm reading 70s and 80s comic that it isn't even the, let me share how the Avengers or Defenders all got together. And, oh, let me explain Hulk now for the next 4 panels. And let me explain Valkyrie for the next 3 panels. There's parts of that that is just an outdated way of telling a story. But obviously that was Stan Lee drumming it into everyone's head that this could be little Johnny's first comic. So you have to write it this way.
Sure.
And maybe that's a downfall. Because if you look at the 70s and 80s, you help kids, young children, starting off, like, their first item to read is not a book, it's a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Where nowadays, I don't know if it's a comic book. I think a lot of kids start off reading.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
But I mean, like, picture books, but, like, for you and me, I didn't have a lot of picture books. Like my mom, it was easy and cheap and accessible because they were at grocery stores that guess what? Every month she would be like, go to the spinner rack and pick out something. I'll pick it up for you.
Right.
Instead, like now I think a lot of parents, they can, you know, guess what? You can go to Amazon and they don't really care. They look at a book, you know, like a softback, like picture book. And it's just like, eh, it's only $15. Oh, well.
Well, see, I didn't grow up reading picture books.
But there's all, my point is there's a lot more picture books.
Sure, I get it. And like, I would say it's more normal to read that.
Yeah, and yeah. When we were growing up, it was like Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss and like maybe three or four others, where now it's like, holy Christ, there's page after page of children's books.
I'm going to tell you, I didn't even read that stuff till like I was almost a teenager.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, doesn't matter. It's not that I didn't like want to read it. I didn't know about it.
Right.
And I was always very curious, and my parents just let me buy whatever. So I would get like Egyptology books or like Greek mythology books. Like that's what I grew up reading that I really enjoyed. But
I went for books, but needless to say, I still think my point up with the grocery store, it's pretty easy for your parents to be like, oh, that comic book was a quarter or a dollar or 50 cents, 75, whatever it was. Like that was throwaway money. And now I think nowadays people go to Amazon Prime and that $15 book, that $15 at this point, you know, coffee is $5. So $15 to a lot of people is just throwaway money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's buy Junior a throwaway book.
Right.
Yeah. So
anyways, so I get all that. Now, with that said, I think even then you can't always do that. So I get your point about Watchmen, but I don't know if that's necessarily an approachable comic for a new comic reader. You see what I'm saying? Or like a book like, all right, so we've done a couple book clubs on Starman. Like you can be a comic newbie and read Starman and possibly enjoy it, but like without having the history of things, I don't think Starman is nearly as good as it is.
But that was me, Martin.
What do you mean?
In your example.
Okay.
I didn't know who any of those characters were. The first character I recognized in Starman was Solomon Grundy. Because I never ever knew there was another Starman. I picked that up because I liked James Robinson doing that Golden Age. And I thought Jack Knight looked cool. And I flipped it open and I saw that the art looked cool. Okay. And I'm like, he looks cool and hip. All right, I'll buy that. And I read it two or three sittings before ever realizing, oh, they're pulling in these characters from the Golden Age. And, oh, they're dealing with this. And I had no clue.
Yeah.
I thought James Robinson was making up all of these different Starman personas.
Right.
I had no idea that they were, you know, created in the 70s and 80s and Golden Age. And, like, I had no idea. But that, like, that goes back to my first point. That has everything to do with a writer and an artist being that good to draw you in and make it accessible for a complete new reader.
All right. Fair enough.
Because I thought that was a whole, like, to me, that was just like reading a new reader reading like Mark Waid's Invincible or Incorruptible or Astro City.
Mm.
Like I went into Starman, like I thought the entire thing that he was creating was completely out of his head. And not reference to all of these other characters. Like sure. Astro City. Like I just, hey, if Busiek's drawing any inspiration from any other, like, oh, I grabbed that universe from Milestone, or I grabbed that universe from First Comics, or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I, honest to God, I've read so many trades of that, and I would still be like, wow, really? Just like Watchmen with Charlton characters. I still, like, I've never read any Charlton characters, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few issues here or there. But I couldn't be like, oh, that Alan Moore really screwed up that character. Like, I don't have any basis of knowledge to base it on. So, but it's written really well. And it's really entertaining for any reader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
All right, so do you think that maybe what Seeley's trying to say is that if you want to do something challenging, you shouldn't do it at Marvel or DC. You should do an indie book. Because I don't agree with that either.
I don't understand why he would have said what he said. unless, I mean, it's, could it be possible that they want to, I know Seeley does, you know, hack slash.
Right.
As well as like other, you know, independent books, but I think he owns hack slash, doesn't he?
I think so.
Cause it's, it almost sounds like this is what all the Image founders, this is how they would have been approaching. Hey, you know what we should do? Create our own company.
Hmm.
If social media was out there, like they would be peppering out these type of tweets. Cause both of them, you know, they sort of have the golden goose. Like you have Nightwing, dude. Like you can move on to other DC characters, but throwing out stuff like that, it's like, there's no way people aren't reading that higher up in DC or wherever and being like, look at this guy.
Yeah. Here, I found.
He writes Revival. Like, Revival's pretty popular.
Sure.
Like, I just don't get where it's coming from.
So, do you
really think, like, Jonah Hex was a big moneymaker seller? Like,
no.
It almost was like they, and I don't have any numbers to back it up, but I bet you DC kept that going because Gray Palmiotti and whichever various artists they brought in at the time, it was sort of like a vanity project for them. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this is one of our oldest characters and you're going to keep them going. And I guess the sales sort of can justify it, but it's not like it's Batman. They're not making money hand over fist, but it's enough that it, you know, keeps the lights on.
Right.
For that title. So yeah, let's, but I mean, normally I would assume that a publisher, especially nowadays, would be like, it's not really increasing in sales. It's very stagnant. Let's, you know, cut our losses.
So I found the tweet that he was replying to.
Ooh.
Palmiotti's tweet said, comic fan for 40 years and I've seen it all, so I've become more and more picky. I want to read challenging books, not the same old superhero fight club. And that's what Seeley was replying to. Then Palmiotti replied, well, with over 200 superhero titles a month, that's a lot of accessibility in my eyes, but I get what you're saying. Sure, I'm just not sure we, creators, publishers, are as interested as we should in making many of those superhero comics gateways to reading and buying more comics. A lot of quote-unquote challenging work is a bit of a closed loop.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't understand it.
Hey, just like our Aftershock Takeover.
Yeah.
It's like all the genres that we're calling for. Guess what? That if that's what they want to do, fantastic for me and you. But you know damn well those aren't going to be money makers.
Okay.
You know?
Well, and let me tell
like
you. All right, so.
Like a romance or a military comic.
Sure.
Or a Western. Like, all those genres, bygone genres, they're not going to make a crap ton of money. But, yeah, it seems like they're, could they be trying to push DC, since they're both part of the DC family, could they be trying to push some editorial staff into greenlighting non-capes and cowls beat-em-ups? Maybe. But guess what? Karen Berger's not there anymore. Or, yeah, Karen Berger, she's not there anymore. Like, the people that could champion that, they ain't. This
yeah.
is a business. This is a whole different animal. You're under the Disney umbrella.
Oh, God. Well, not if you're at DC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But still, they're under a corporate umbrella.
Sure. Sure. But I think Warner Brother gives them a little more leeway to do a little something different. It's my impression. I could be wrong. So if you're a Marvel fan and disagree, let me know. But I mean, I see it all the time. Like, I look at Marvel's lineup and I look at DC's lineup, and I feel like DC is able to tell better stories in many respects because it seems like they have a little more freedom, whereas a lot of the Marvel stuff has tended to shy towards a younger audience lately. Matter of fact, they just announced a new book, The Exiles, which I have to
They're
pick.
They're bringing back The Exiles?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to read it because Blink's in it. who was it? Blink, Iron Lad, which I didn't even know Iron Lad was a thing. Kamala Khan, and one more that they haven't revealed yet.
Boy, Kamala Khan loves to be in group books.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she's a big seller for him, dude.
I know.
Ms. Marvel does gangbusters for him.
I was saying that sarcastically.
I know. Anyways, but I mean, they do have some books that are freaking awesome, but don't sell as well because I feel like they are more challenging. Like Black Bolt. I still believe Black Bolt's the best book that Marvel puts out, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it sells.
Sure.
But it's freaking awesome. So I don't know, man. Maybe I just run in the wrong circles.
Maybe they're just not marketing to you.
And the thing is, the Brilliant Trash that Seeley's doing at Aftershock, that's a very challenging book. Matter of fact, I had no earthly idea what the hell is going on the first issue. And I read it like 3 times.
Wow.
I mean, I understood the themes that were being discussed, but in terms of the story itself, there was a lot being thrown at you. So, but then again, that's not a Marvel and DC book, right? And so maybe that's what he's trying to say. But I don't want that either. Like, if I read, I'm a Cape and Cow guy, but I don't want the same old Cape and Cow story. I want new stuff.
I just don't know. Is that just a shot at the big two? Because it seems like both of those guys could go to any of the smaller publishers, and they probably wouldn't even have to pitch their story.
Sure.
Their name alone will be like, how many issues you want to do? Okay, go. You know? So it's just maybe. Like, if you think you're going to change DC to go back to like House of Secrets and stuff like that, that's what the Vertigo line's for. You know, like you're not going to get that in mainstream DC anymore. Hell, look at how much like Hellblazer has changed ever since he was brought into the DC proper.
Right.
I mean, he certainly is not the, you know, the swarmy, like he's going to, he will always stab his best friends or whatever in the back to get what he needs to get done. He ain't that character anymore.
Right.
You know, the worst he's going to do is throw somebody under, but knowing that, oh, they're going to, you know, oh, Swamp Thing will come back. Oh, you know, Black Orchid will be fine with what I did.
Yep.
Like, it's, I don't know. I don't see mainstream Marvel or DC ever. Like, why would they steer clear of Capes and Cowls? Look at, like, I want to tell both of them, like, look at all of these movies that are coming out. And TV shows.
Well, it's,
Why would you steer clear?
But it's not even steering clear. It's the fact that it seems like he feels that they shouldn't be challenging to the reader.
Is he saying that they're dumbed down?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way that I read it.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't even know if Watchmen, and I mean, we've discussed this before. I don't know in today's market you could even offer that.
I mean, you've got Doomsday Clock.
I haven't read one word of it, so I'll take your opinion that it's up there at the level that Watchmen was.
Well, I don't know. I didn't say that. I don't think that's a fair comparison. Cause
you compared it.
No. It's the same type of story. But the thing is, Doomsday Clock just started. Watchmen has been done for decades. And the stuff that Watchmen was doing, people hadn't done before. And what Doomsday Clock is doing has been done many times before. So.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's, it's like if you put out Watchmen today, I guarantee you it probably wouldn't be as good as when it came out back in the day.
My point is I don't think a publisher is willing to take the risks that a Watchmen
I disagree with you, but the publisher would not be Marvel or DC.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, I could see
plenty of publishers. I could see Image doing B for Vendetta. I could see them doing any of that type of stuff.
Sure.
For sure.
Image, 451, Aftershock, Vault.
But we're talking DC and Marvel.
Okay.
Strictly.
Well, I mean, DC maybe under Vertigo.
Yes, under Vertigo, yes. But I'm talking DC proper, Marvel.
No,
proper.
No, hell no.
Right. That's what I'm talking. Because that's what it did. That's what that stuff did come under.
Yeah.
There was no Vertigo. It came under the proper, you know, DC title.
Yep.
I don't think they're willing to risk that.
Yep.
Is my point.
Fair enough.
Which is a shame.
Sure.
You know, you can change the game by putting out stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But I don't see them doing it. I mean, there's been umpteen things that could have changed the Capes and Cowls game, but it always gets reset. That's why I like even Old Man Logan. I understand now he's popular, so it's easy to look back at that and be like, of course they're going to keep him around. He's popular. But when that originally was done, I was counting the months till they're like, oh yeah, here's Logan. And Old Man Logan, yeah, he just went away. He's gone. Bye-bye. You know, no one expected stuff like that, but guess what? They're always going to reset it. You're not just going to get the 13-year-old X-Men team
Because guess what? They have to bring back the X-Men everybody is familiar with.
Sure.
You can't change the game that much. Oh, God.
Yep.
So that's why people go to independence. But it just seems weird that both of those guys are so ingrained in capes and cowls. And guess what? Tim Seeley, you want to change Nightwing? I'm sure that they would let you. Unless you absolutely want to turn Nightwing into a character that is absolutely not that character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's barriers up, but it's not like he couldn't develop all the characters in that environment. I'm sure he could. I'm sure they would let him do that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, fiddling around with Nightwing is a lot different than fiddling around with Batman. So I'm sure he gets a little bit more leeway than somebody coming in fresh and wanting to fiddle around with Bruce.
I guess.
Oh, come on.
I guess. I don't know, Nick. I have a deep appreciation for all kinds of comics, except Slice of Life comics. I hate those. They're the worst.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. They're not my favorite, but I don't hate them. But I love superhero comics, and I think there's plenty of room for them to be interesting. The problem is that when they become interesting is when all the dummies will quit reading it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, or it could be the case of, like, Court of Owls, where that was such a cool concept, and especially a cool design for a villain, and a really new modern look for Batman and the environment, that all the dummy came out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden they've been reading Batman for decades, and they jump on the Batman bus, and just like every, you know, not so hardcore fan, it sort of takes the luster off of, like, well, that's my character, and now everybody's into this character, so I don't know if I like this character. You know, it's like, as soon as it becomes a mainstream thing, all the Uber fans want to, like, well, what's the next thing that I can latch on to now that this is mainstream?
Yep. Oh, buddy.
But it seems weird that those two would take that stance without, like, those guys could go anywhere and make any type of comic they would want. So why are you throwing that out unless you are trying to bully the editorial team into maybe, like, oh, we want to do a line of magic comic that's cape and cowls, but really it's magic. You know what I'm like? Is that what they're publicly but privately trying to bully the creative team at DC to let them, like, just give in so we can do this? We'll prove you guys wrong.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, why bitch about it? It just seemed like sour grapes, but, like, you don't have anything to be sour over. You two are on some good titles there, and you've pretty much put a stake in your corner of DC.
Well,
why complain about capes and cowls?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
go to Aftershock.
That was
go
something that Palmiotti said. That was something that Palmiotti said, because, like, he said something about the way that they structured Harley Quinn was that it wasn't about the villains, and that's why they enjoyed doing it, because it wasn't like a typical superhero book. And I get that, because it wasn't. It was a little odd. Yeah. Is that what's up? The contract's up, right? Palmiotti and Amanda?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't follow it.
Because I don't think Tim's is. I think Seeley's DC exclusive. Unless he's trying to get out of it.
Can you imagine that your character that you pretty much... I understand that it wasn't their character. They didn't invent the character. But they certainly gave it a lot of its personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden your character is on the silver screen. And it's the biggest freaking thing. And now your character is being cosplayed probably almost more than any other character.
Hmm.
And you don't think DC has been, like, nudging you even more than when you first started with that character, which was a throwaway character? And now that it's so big, now it's like, oh, you can't do that with Harley. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's unknown to that character. You can't do that. Oh, no, you can't put her in that situation. And I'm sure for him and Amanda, it's probably like, but we were the ones that developed this character. We should know what we can and can't do with this character more than you.
Mm.
I'm sure DC is very protective of that character now.
Oh, no doubt.
So I can see that being frustrating.
But dude, be for real. Like you don't think they're tired of doing Harley Quinn?
Oh, come on. I was just about to say, if you don't think Harley Quinn is the most capes and cowls beat 'em up with a sense of humor, of course. But still, it's like, dude, you're not changing the game whatsoever with that character. That character is just the Brinks truck that you backed up into. That's why I'm like, is this sour grapes? But maybe it is. Maybe his contract's up.
Yeah.
And he just is, I don't know, maybe he's fuming a little bit.
Yeah, I don't remember. I want to say that his is up, but I think Amanda still has some time left at DC.
Well, I hope that they get a couple pennies off of every shirt and everything that has been sold.
Dude, you don't think they're getting some cutback off of anything Harley Quinn?
I would hope so.
As long and as I'd they've hope, been running that book?
I'd hope Paul Dini is as well. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I think Warner Brothers is a lot better about that than Disney. So,
but I mean, you understand my point. Can you imagine mm-hmm. the people that are protective of that IP?
Sure.
And now all of a sudden, like, and you know, I mean, you follow Palmiotti, you're like, he doesn't seem like too much of a corporate dude.
No.
So, can you even imagine all like suits and pencil pushers like? Oh, Harley would never say that. Oh, Harley would never be put in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
As he's like, listen, mother effer, I put her in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
This is what made this book. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine the frustration for him and a man.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to do that character or not, you could be completely burned out. But push comes to shove, that is the Brinks truck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you want to do that?
Yep.
But hey, I get it. They're artists, so good on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can always go to Aftershock. you can always do a different character. You can always, you know, you want to develop something new, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say bye bye to that character. You know.
Yep.
That's just like the secret history of comics.
Mm-hmm.
When Siegel and Schuster went off and tried to recreate Superman.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just like, well, it's like, pale comparisons.
Yep. Wasn't the...
Some people can, I mean, people mock like Rob Thomas
yeah.
and Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
But guess what? Certain people can write number one hits like they're, you know, signing autographs. And then some people can only do one number one hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the bad thing. Like, you know, nothing against, like, somebody who can, like, whip out, like, number one after number one after number one. And then there's some people that, guess what? You're going to have this number one book or number one character. And then the rest of your life, you will always be compared from your fandom and critics in regards to that first number one book.
Yep.
And that's got to drive you crazy as a creative person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It felt like sour. That's all.
Yeah,
for me,
I
was just like, where's that coming from, guys? Like, how many issues of Revival did you write? Like, holy Christ. Like, dude, and that was very popular.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, where is this? Like, that? There was no capes and cowls in that. There, like, where is all this coming from? And to be honest with you, like, if you want to go and make Nightwing into a spy espionage book,
mm-hmm.
but it's people in costumes, you write it good enough, I'll be there. I'll read that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can change the game with Nightwing, but I don't see you breaking out of the Harley Quinn mode.
Dude.
That's a little rougher.
They could really give people something new and different and exciting if they really wanted to. I mean, think about my favorite book, Astro City. If Astro City was at Marvel or DC,
mm-hmm. it would have been canceled.
It would have been canceled. It would have been canceled a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because of the way that the whole deal would be structured, right? So Busiek can keep doing the book at a smaller publisher and be mm-hmm. totally fine.
Because
mm-hmm. he doesn't do much else. I mean, he's doing Creature of the Night for DC right now, mm-hmm. Which is awesome. But
well, I mean, let's not forget his age as well.
Sure, I get that. That's fine.
Yeah, he can't write to that that ferocity that he was 20 years ago.
But are you telling me that the Big Two can't do something like it? Maybe not as an ongoing, because, God, Esther City's been around for, what, like 20 years, maybe?
Yeah, and guess what? He wrote Avengers with Perez, and if you swapped out those characters with Astro City characters, it was the same book.
Sure.
You know, it's just like anyone can write their own book and like Irredeemable, that is a Capes and Cowls book, but holy Christ, does that go places.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of that, do you really think that book could have hung in there at Marvel or DC proper?
If it was a Superman story, maybe Vertigo.
But I don't think it would ever go to the heights that it did and the places that it did towards the end. I don't know if Marvel or DC would be like, yeah, go right ahead. Wherever you artistically have to take that, you go right ahead. Like, I don't think they're giving carte blanche like that at all.
I don't know, dude. I think there was a time in comics where DC could have done a Superman arc. That's the exact story as Irredeemable. But with Superman in it.
For sure.
I totally believe that when
Superman wasn't selling, absolutely.
Yeah, when no one gave a shit.
And I'm sure after Dark Knight came out, I'm sure they were dying for a writer to be like, here's my take on Superman. Let's make him bad without like having a villain swap his brain for Superman's brain and get the body snatcher thing.
Yep.
Like we don't want Superman bad for one issue. Like we want to take it, but I hate to say it, like you also go around with that too. You know,
sure.
I mean, even back in the day when stuff wasn't, I don't think that they would be like, yeah, go ahead, make him evil. Cause I think they'd be scared. They could lose their flagship character.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think Irredeemable would have stuck around. Even if it was like a Watchmen take of grabbing old characters that people sort of remember. The way where that goes and where it ends up, I don't see that. Well, I see it selling okay, but I don't know if, because there were a lot of issues there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Big Two would let that go on for as many issues as it was.
Well,
unless it was a Vertigo thing. Like, guess what? Why the Last Man? I don't think it mattered to Vertigo if that thing sold.
Sure.
But that is a creative team being like, hey, we love you, the writer and artist, and you have this thing set up to end at, what, 70 issues, and you just go and write that, which is great, you know, and I think that's what they did with Jason Aaron with Scalp. Like, he said, I have a definite end to this. Okay, go do that.
Yeah.
Like, you have a track record, go ahead. But I think that's just Vertigo, and that's the faith of, like, the Vertigo, you know, the people, the higher-ups within Vertigo. But there is no higher-ups in Vertigo anymore. Let's see if they can get back to that. That would be great.
Yeah.
I would love it, but I don't know. The Seeley, Tom Yacht, it's just like, I get it if it was somebody, if it was like Donny Cates. I would get it if it's him. He hasn't really been able to put a flag, like, his stuff's hot, don't get me wrong, but it's still like, he's no Palmiotti. He doesn't have the track record, you know?
Yep.
So I can see him being like, I want to do something that isn't Capes and Cowls. And like hitting each other, you know. And when Bendis first started with Marvel, that's what he was coming in saying. He wants to do his noir stuff. He wants to make it a lot more like procedural, and he wants to get rid of the internal. Like, there were certain pillars that he wanted to hit and try to change the game. Luckily, he was doing it along with all these other writers and artists who wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to quote unquote modernize the comic, bring it into storytelling.
Yep. Yeah, they still could have done it. Maybe the thing is, it wouldn't be like in the ongoing, right? But that's what's interesting, dude. Like, DC's doing that now. I mean, granted, it's with Batman, so it's gonna sell regardless, right?
Yeah.
But like, you know, White Knight, Creature of the Night, Dark Prince Charming, metal stuff. Like, there's plenty of stories you can do, and give the creators the freedom and keep it a Capes and Cowls book, but do something different. So,
but. As long as they pay off.
Sure.
But see, DC, like everything that you named, you can also look at the creators and be like, well, granted, it's going to sell because it's Batman or whatever.
Sure.
but they're also banking on, well, people want to read Scott Snyder, or people want to read or like look at this artist. So it's almost like a calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you want to, what's metal about? You know, give me the elevator pitch. But really, they're just looking at all those numbers and like, well, we're at least going to make this amount. And that's an interesting enough pitch that we'll probably make more.
Yep. Oh, Nick, it's time to wrap this up.
Okay.
That's it. You want an outro? We're still doing that? Outros are so season one.
No, that is, that's a classic Nerdy Legion podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what this is?
That's why we're the number one podcast for... on the Nerdy Legion Network in regards to season two. Now do the outro like a good boy.
You've been listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick at Nick Wetmore and me at Geekvine. The show is at Nerdy Legion. Email is nerdylegion@gmail.com. But remember, I check that like once a month. Maybe. I want to shout Ronnie out. He's got a new podcast because apparently he wasn't doing enough.
I think he's cloned himself.
He might have. If you're a Doctor Who fan, check out the Timey Wimey Podcast Hour. It's a good title. Yeah. Where Ronnie and Shane and Ronnie's son Austin talk about Doctor Who.
And hopefully you might get your brother on.
Yeah, my brother needs to be on there.
I hope so.
He's been messaged.
The dreamy Julian comes back to the Nerdy Legion Network.
That's right. So yeah, that's it. There's another podcast coming out that I can't talk about. It's Paul and myself.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's a secret.
Well, let's end this podcast so you can tell me all about it.
Let's tune in again. Have a good night.